It's Wednesday, the 30th of December, 2015. Happy birthday to LeBron James. And welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Creamy Crunch. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast, just like Creamy Crunch, it's very straightforward. All you need to do is leave a review on iTunes, and you can become a sponsor of the show for a day. And don't forget, if you're in Australia or New Zealand, please go and have a look at Moneyball. They're a great sponsor of the podcast. They've been supporting the podcast all throughout the season. And not only that, you get a chance to go and join in the daily fantasy sports action and win some cash. It's a win for me, it's a win for them, it's a win for you, it's a win for everybody. So go ahead and check out Moneyball. Not only do they do NBA, they've got NFL, Premier League, A-League, Big Bash League as well, and AFL and Rugby League when that season kicks off in a few months' time. So there's a lot over there on Moneyball. All right, we've got a lot to get to. There were five games today. There are 10 games tomorrow.
Let's get to it.
I reckon that's a great idea, Mick. The monstrous line of the night is Chris Middleton of the Milwaukee Bucks. He played 37 minutes. He had 36 points, hit 6 triples, 7 assists, a steal, went 13 of 22 from the field and hit all 4 of his free throws. A fantastic line from Middleton. And he's a guy who started the season really slowly. And he was one of those players that people were very down on. Can't believe I wasted a 5th round, 6th round pick on this bum. He's been terrible, blah, blah, blah. Well, over the last 2 weeks, he's a top 15 player. He's averaging in that span 21 points, 2.6 triples, 5.5 assists, which is just so far above what he's done throughout his career. The last month, he's actually averaging 4.5 assists. He's been a 2-assist-a-game guy for the previous 2 seasons. He's only at 1.1 steals, and last year, a big part of his value was the 1.5 steals he was giving you, so he's still down in that area. But he's a 52% shooter, and he's a 96% shooter from the free throw line. So just providing significant value in so many areas, Chris Middleton, on a massive hot streak at the moment. But how does is that going to continue? Who knows? We'll see. But for now, you're just loving the fact that you drafted him and that you own him because he's putting up some fantastic numbers. The waiver wire line of the night goes to a guy who's been basically terrible all season, and that's why he's been dropped in as many leagues as he has, and that is Robin Lopez of the New York Knicks. He played 36 minutes, went for 11-7, chimed in 2 assists, a steal, and 6 blocks on 5-of-8 shooting. There's no denying that he's been terrible. He's only averaging 24 minutes a game this year, 7.5 points, 5.5 rebounds, but still 1.3 blocks, still 50 and 82, which is great for a center, and that ranks him just outside the top 150. So 14 team league guys want to own him, but the last 2 weeks, he's got his blocks up to 2 a game, 59% shooting from the field. He's looking a little bit more comfortable. Even when you watch him play, he's a little bit more comfortable. And that doesn't mean that Derek Fisher is going to give him more playing time, because we've seen that the minutes are up and down. They were up here, and I pontificated that on yesterday's show, that maybe against a big guy like Drummond, they're going to want to put Lopez out there a little bit more. And that's how that seemed to work. So I think we're going to see more of that against teams who are really big. We'll see Lopez play bigger minutes. And the teams who are a little bit smaller, maybe not as strong in the center position, Porzingis will play more 5. So I think that's something that we can definitely look for as a trend. I don't think that adding Lopez is a must for standard leagues, but if you want some blocks without hurting your free throw percentage, him or Roy Hibbert are probably the 2 best options there. And Lopez is outplaying Hibbert at the moment, and that says a lot because he's been terrible this season. You know, I'm not owning him in many spots, but there's reason to believe that you could look at him, even if it's just for short-term use, or even if it's just spot starts when you think that the Knicks are going to play against a team who is bigger and stronger and he needs to play more minutes, because then he can have a little bit of extra run. But don't get too hyped up on the 6-block night that he had here. It's just not something that he's done all that often this season. The young gun of the night goes to Clint Capella of the Houston Rockets. He played 30 minutes, and that's 3 straight games with basically around 30 minutes a game. He was great in this one. There was no Terrence Jones. He went 17-10. He had 2 steals and a block on 6-of-9 shooting. And if you're punting free throws, he's still a guy who's basically a 12-team league guy. Now, his per 36 numbers haven't translated exactly as a starter, and that's to be expected going up against better competition. But over the last month, he's still averaging 1.3 steals, a block, 7.7 rebounds, and 53% from the field. And all that is usable if you've got the right team. The 42% free throws is brutal. 8.2 points is not good. And there's no threes and there's no assists. But those defensive numbers, the rebounding, the field goal percentage, the low turnovers if you're in a league, or if you care about turnovers, there is some value there. So it's hard to look at his numbers and go, oh yeah, he's ranked 146 for the last month. Because you could go and look at Andre Drummond, and I don't know the number off the top of my head, but he might be ranked 50th. But it's all that sort of number's bullshit, because you know that it's drawn down by a big, big negative, and that's exactly what's happening with Capella. So he has value, not a must-own for everyone, not a must-own in every league. There might be some leagues where he's not owned at all. But with what he's able to do, if he's owned in a 12-team league, it's not stupid. There's a lot of value still for him, and that's three in a row. Two with Jones, one without, where he's played close to 30 minutes. And that's important, that he's getting those minutes back. He's playing next to Howard. This could change very quickly because staff could go, well, we're just going to go with something different. But for now, if you want what he gives you, and that's some nice defensive numbers, a good field goal percentage boost, and some decent rebounds, there's value in using Clint Capella. Not a must-own player, though. The dud of the night, this guy's also not a must-own player, Jabari Parker. He went 2 of 11 from the field. 5 points, 4 rebounds, nothing else. 1 of 2 from the free throw line. Coming back from an ACL injury is tough work. He is hasn't been good. 10.5 points, 4 rebounds this year. And it doesn't help that he doesn't do much in other categories. You know, half a steal, half a block, 1 assist, no threes, 45% from the field. That's down to 39 across the last 2 weeks. So struggling a little bit in that area. He's probably the worst player on your 12-team league roster. So if you're holding him and there's someone else out there who's decent, I don't think you have to hold on to Parker, because if someone grabs him, I don't think that it is a season-changing move for them. So I don't think he has to be held, because, again, it's coming back from an ACL injury. Lots of talk about Jabari Parker that I think I saw somewhere that they were saying that his position in the NBA might be shooting guard when all is said and done. That feels a little weird to me. I don't really know if he's a shooting guard. I don't think he's a power forward. But I don't know if he's necessarily a shooting guard. But the ACL injury is definitely a concern. If you're in a dynasty league, this is a great buy low time, because, again, he's coming back off this ACL. He's still only 20 years old. He's still got a lot of room to get better. And some people might get pissed. Oh, he's played 27 games. He's the injury. He's done. He should be better than this. But it takes a long time. He won't be back to almost fully healthy and ready to go completely until next season. So buying him really low in a dynasty format is probably not a bad move with Jabari Parker. But he's got to add threes. He's got to add defensive numbers to be a real fantasy star. So I don't think he's really got that. Much like Andrew Wiggins, I don't necessarily think he's got top 50 upside in the next year or two. The DFS value play of the day was also Robin Lopez. He was priced at just 3,800 and put up 33.4 points. So a huge night if you were able to get him into your lineup. You must have been pretty happy with that. All right, that is the nightly awards. Let's move into these games now and look at them in a little bit more detail, covering the box scores. I'll just bring that up for you guys watching along at home. There you go. The first game, the Detroit Pistons and the New York Knicks. Ersan Ilyasova was massive here. 19-6, 3 threes, 3 steals. He's been a guy that I've been watching a lot this season. He's been on and off a lot of my rosters. The consistency was a concern at the start of the year. He wasn't getting many minutes. But over the last month, he's actually ranked inside the top 100, getting 29 minutes a game, 12-6, 1.5 threes, almost a steal and a block. So he's basically a triple one guy, and that can provide value for you, obviously. And I do think that, as dumb as this might sound for a guy who's a journeyman, who's been in the league a while, he's got upside because he can get better than this. So I think that he's someone in a 14-team league, absolutely. In a 12-team league, yeah, I reckon he's got, I would rather have Ersan Ilyasova than Jabari Parker, we'll put it that way. I think that he's a better value player than what Jabari Parker is moving forward for the rest of this season. Marcus Morris had a triple one, 17-4, and Reggie Jackson went 17-5-9 in 31 minutes. But probably the biggest story for Detroit was the return of Brandon Jennings after that Achilles injury. He played 17 minutes off the bench, had 7 points, 4 assists, and that's really good. That's obviously great. Now, in a 14-team league, I reckon I'm all over Brandon Jennings because his minutes are probably going to go up. They might go up to 20. But I don't think they're going up to 30. I don't think they're going up to 26 or 27. What he did here is he moved Steve Blake and Spencer Dinwiddie completely out of the rotation, which is exactly what they needed to do. That's great. He can play backup two as well. So he could get himself up to 23, 24 minutes a night. But I don't think he's going to play more than that until we maybe head into late February, March. So adding him now in a 10-team league is foolish to me. In a 12-team league, I still wouldn't do it because I think that he's going to be stuck in these below 20-minute zone for the next month. He might get close to 20, but even then, in a 12-team league, you want generally guys who are 27 minutes plus. That's where you want your guys to be. And if he's not quite there, unless he starts going, you know, 12 and 7 in 20 minutes, which he does have a possibility to do. But remember, it's not like Stan Van Gundy loved him last year. He struggled out of the gate. He got hot just before his injury, but he did struggle out of the gate. I'm not panicking on Reggie Jackson. He doesn't need to play 37 minutes to have big numbers. 32 is enough for him, and I think he'll continue to get 32 minutes. And Jennings will be that backup guy, backup one, backup two, who's going to be a 14-team must-own. But in a 12-team league, I don't really think so. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope had 9 points with 2 triples and 6 rebounds. Not his best night. And Andre Drummond, definitely not his best night. 13-9 with a steal and a block. But probably the biggest deficiency in his game was 5 of 15 from the field. He also went 3 of 7 from the free throw line. But not Drummond's best performance. On the Knicks, Mallow went 24-6-6 with a couple of threes and a steal. And Chris Herring of the Wall Street Journal, I think, had a great tweet today, which I retweeted sometime tonight, so about half an hour ago, so have a look on my timeline to see that, showing Mallow's career shooting percentages per month, and basically it just increases every single month, and it's done that this season. So we're expecting, or we're hoping, that Mallow continues that trend and becomes a better shooter and a better fantasy producer as the season wears on. He's looking that way definitely at the moment. 24-6-6 here is a pretty decent line, and the shooting is coming good for him. Kristaps Porzingis was limited here, just 19 minutes, 10-2 with a couple of blocks. They're still providing value even in a game where his minutes were limited. Jose Calderon went 15-2-4 with 3 threes. Don't expect the 33 minutes for him to happen all that often, or all that sort of production, but I can understand owning him in a 12-team league. And Aaron Aflalo had just 9 points with 6 rebounds and a 3, and you should know my thoughts on Aaron Aflalo by this stage. Lance Thomas played 29 minutes. It's a big amount for Lance Thomas. And Jerian Grant at least got into the rotation here and played 7 minutes ahead of Sasha Vujacic. Not much else from the Knicks, I think, that we really need to cover off. The Atlanta Hawks and the Houston Rockets is the next game. Al Horford was brilliant, 30-14, 5 threes, a steal and a block on, 11 of 15 from the field. He was really close to getting the monstrous line of the night. Him and Middleton were neck and neck. That's a career-high 3-pointers for Horford. It's an Atlanta Hawks franchise record for a center. Just huge. He's added that extra element to his game. He'd been in a bit of a slump, but this is obviously a great way to break out of it. Paul Millsap was massive as well. 22-13, 4 assists, a steal, a 3, and 5 blocks. And Kent Bazemore was massive as well. 26 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and 5 triples. Jeff Teague was also big. 22-2-8, 3 steals, and 2 threes. See what happens when you play Houston? These guys all went for over 20 points. Fantasy value in every single category. Just fantastic numbers. And then you get to Kyle Korver, who went 0 of 11, in 31 minutes for 2 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, and a block. He missed all 10 of his 3-point attempts. Just a brutal, brutal night for Kyle Korver. In a 10-team league, I don't think you have to hold him. This has been 35-40% of the season done, and he hasn't been great. In a 12-team league, I probably want to hold a little bit longer unless there's someone out there that's really calling your name, but the injuries had an impact on him. He's old, man. He's like 35 years old. And it's had a big impact on him, definitely. The shooting is not the same. The production is not the same. The minutes are still okay, but not his night. Nor was it Thabo Sefolosha, who played 21 minutes for 0 points and 1 rebound. Not a good night when I chucked him in as a minimum salary punt play in DFS, and he gave me 1.2 points. Actually, that's not true. I think he gave me 0.2 points because he had a turnover as well. So Thabo, not the greatest night from him. On to the Rockets. The Hawks had big fantasy lines, so did the Rockets. James Harden, 26-10-8 with 3 threes. Dwight Howard went 30-16 with a steal and a block. That's his best game pretty much for the season. Ty Lawson, in 26 minutes off the bench, played more minutes than Patrick Beverley. 14 points, 2 threes, and 4 assists. Now, someone tweeted at me today, do I drop Pat Beverley and add Ty Lawson? Now, Beverley played just 21 minutes for 9 points. I think Beverley can be dropped in standard leagues. I don't necessarily think that I'm adding Lawson, but I'm not necessarily doing a direct swap, but I can understand adding him. Now, he could go out and play 17 minutes in the next game, and Jason Terry plays 17 and Beverly plays 20. There's a risk in that, but if you want to take a punt, adding Lawson is not a terrible move. I probably wouldn't do it myself, but it depends who I'm dropping. You can look to add Lawson, because this is a couple of games in a row where his minutes have been up there and his production's been decent. Let's see how it works out. Trevor Ariza stunk. 4 of 13 for him for 10 points and not many other stats. 2 threes and a block, not his greatest night. And as I mentioned, Beverly was bad as well. Denadis Motiejunas went from getting single-digit minutes to 27 with Terrence Jones out. 6 and 7 for him, 2 threes, a steal and a block. I really love Denadis Motiejunas as a player, but he's just not standard league relevant at the moment, despite that really nice game from him there. The Milwaukee Bucks and the Oklahoma City Thunder, another massive scoring night, another huge fantasy value night from a lot of players. John Henson played 25 minutes, 8 and 6, 3 assists, 5 blocks. He's a blocking animal. He can put up fantasy value in 25 plus minutes. If he gets less than 20, it's hard to own him in a 12-team league. 22 or 23 minutes plus, I'm fine with owning him in 12-team leagues, because if you need blocks. Because if you need blocks, he pays for himself in that sort of area. Michael Carter-Williams, after a struggle in the first game back with Jared Bayless, played 32 minutes here, 19, 9, and 9 with 2 steals and a 3. Whenever there's a change in the Bucks rotation, do not drop Michael Carter-Williams, because it's like he just takes a game to get used to new players entering the rotation, and then he goes back to putting up decent lines. He was also a great shooter in this one, which is odd, 8 of 14. And Giannis Antetokounmpo went 27 and 10. No steals or blocks, but a nice efficient line. On to Bayless. He only played 20 minutes, but he had 8 points. He had 4 assists. I think we give him a bit of a pass. Back-to-back after having not played for 4 weeks, still giving you 4 assists and 8 points is not a terrible outcome. And OJ Mayo had 14 points with 2 assists and 2 steals. And he's just that real borderline. He's like a 13-team league guy. Not that there's any 13-team leagues really around, but that's sort of where he is at the moment. Maybe a 12, maybe you're definitely a 14, sort of somewhere in the middle. Of course, Johnny O'Brien played 17 minutes for 2 points, and he's one of those in my team. I should make a team of these. The all-NBA team who does the least with the most. Him and Tayshaun Prince and Justice Winslow are probably foundation members at this point. Onto the Thunder, Russ Westbrook, 27, 7, 7, 5 steals, a big night for him. Durant went 26, 6, and 8 with a triple one. But probably the story for the Thunder is Enes Kanter with another huge night. He went 23 and 8 in 22 minutes, had 2 steals, and went 9 of 12 from the field and 5 of 6 from the free throw line. He's putting up big numbers lately, and we know that if he gets big minutes, he's going to put up numbers. You know you're not going to get defensive numbers for him, but in his last 4 games, he's a top 20 player. 18.5 points, 10 rebounds, 0.8 steals, 0.8 blocks on 68 and 88% in 24 minutes. Now, those minutes might be sustainable. That production probably isn't. But I think you should own him in 12-team leagues. There's more faith in Billy Donovan. He's playing more minutes. He's playing down the stretch a little bit more. And that's all you needed from him. Because when he wasn't getting trusted at all, there was no point, because he'd play 17 minutes and go for 10 and 6. And you go, okay, that's great. But how long is it going to continue in that vein? Now, all for adding him and seeing where it runs. The other thing I love with the Thunder is Campaign. 16 minutes for Payne, 16 points, 2 threes, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. DJ Augustine was a healthy scratch in this one. So Payne looks, well, that's 2 games in a row where he's replaced Augustine in the rotation. Deeper league guys, 16 to 18 team leagues, Payne, you want to go and add him, because if he's going to play 15 to 20 minutes a night, he can be really productive. He had one of the best fantasy profiles coming out of the draft. It was probably the worst location for him to land, because he was never going to challenge for a starting spot. But if he had gone to a team, say he had gone to the Lakers and Byron Scott wasn't the coach, he would have been a potential top 70 fantasy player, because he racks up fantasy stats at a significant rate. Keep an eye on Campaign. Serge Ibaka, 11 and 4 with 4 blocks. Nice night there. Stephen Adams added 2 blocks with 6 rebounds, and he's a really team-specific or punt-specific guy and a deeper league player, and there's not much else to really cover off on the Thunder. Miami and the Grizzlies, Goran Dragic, 16, 3, and 5. He's definitely stabilized now. Not a top 50 guy, but a comfortable top 100 guy, I think, now. And Hassan Whiteside had 11 rebounds and 5 blocks in his 37 minutes. So at least he got good minutes. He did foul out, but at least they played him through that. The interesting thing to me in this one was Tyler Johnson, in his second game back from that shoulder issue, played 31 minutes, went 13, 4, and 3 with 3 threes, and that reduced Gerald Green to 20 minutes. And I don't expect Johnson to play 30 minutes going forward. He got that extra run with Justice Winslow out, but I think he's going to get more run than what Gerald Green does. So Gerald Green's days in 12-team league, maybe even a 14-team league, are probably done, whereas Johnson becomes a 14-team league pickup and a 12-team watch. Dwayne Wade went 19, 5, and 5 with 3 steals, and Chris Bosh's 3-point shooting was on fire again, 22 and 5 with 4 triples, and 9 of 21 from the field. Not a great field goal percentage night, but he did start off the game red hot, just couldn't continue it. Luol Deng, He's in contention for do the least with most. 6-2-4 for him in 34 minutes. Again, nice roto player. Generally a bad head-to-head standard league guy, but a 14-team must-own. Onto the Grizzlies. Zach Randolph started in place of the suspended Matt Barnes. He had 33 minutes, went 17-7. I'm okay with adding Zach Randolph if he was dropped. You'd at least get one more start out of him. We don't know if Barnes will re-enter the starting lineup. You'd have to think that he would. And then Randolph goes back to 26 minutes. But just in case Dave Yeager doesn't do that, then you've got Randolph back and getting, you know, 7 or 8 rebounds and decent field goal percentage. Now remember though, before the demotion, he was barely ownable anyway. So just bear that in mind before you go and sacrifice stuff to go and get him. Mike Conley, 16-3-5 in 38 minutes. Jeff Green went 16-7-4 in 38 minutes. And Tony Allen played 36 minutes. I don't really understand why he had to play so many minutes. 6.7 rebounds, 2 steals, and a block. A nice defensive night, defensive numbers night anyway. Don't add Tony Allen. And Mario Chalmers went 12-5-4 with a couple of 3. So a pretty decent night from a lot of these Grizzlies. And Marc Gasol was good too. I haven't even talked about him. 23-8-6 and 4 blocks and all 7 of his free throws. And Ryan Hollins made his Grizzlies debut for this season after just recently being signed when the Grizzlies waived Russ Smith. Not much else I think we really need to cover off on the Grizzlies. The last game of the night was the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Denver Nuggets. LeBron, 34-6-2, 2 steals and a block, a big night for him. No Kyrie Irving in this one, so Matthew Dellavedova got the start. He went 4-7-5 with 2 steals. He's not a standard league guy for me. Mo Williams re-entered the rotation, 7 points, 4 assists in 19 minutes. He's obviously not a standard league guy. Tristan Thompson, big minutes again in the start, but no production. 9.7 rebounds, a steal and a block. So maybe it's not no production. He's very similar to a guy that I mentioned earlier, whose name has just completely escaped me. Let me have a look. Who was the guy that I was talking about? Clint Capella. That's the guy. In terms of he is very build specific. If you need rebounds and you need field goal percentage, he can be a guy that you look at to add. He doesn't have the categorical upside that Capella does, but he's a very useful guy that, you know, you want 8 rebounds, you want 58% from the field, Thompson's going to get it for you. So he has value in 12-team leagues. Timofey Mozgov doesn't. 4-4 for him in 15 minutes, while Kevin Love grabbed 14 boards and had 8 points on 4 of 16 shooting. So a bad night from Love in his 36 minutes. A big night from Iman Shumpert. He went 16-3-2 with 2 steals and 2 threes in 31 minutes. And yes, he might approach those minutes moving forward, but I don't think his production level is going to be really close to that. So I don't think I'm rushing out. Well, I know that I'm not rushing out to grab him. Will Barton. Jesus, this guy. Seriously, 29-7, 3 threes, 2 blocks, 11 of 20 shooting. It feels like he's going to be the sixth man of the year. He has just been incredible. I can't believe how good he has been. I feel like I'm going to wake up and he's not going to be good because it seems weird, but he's doing great and he's actually pretty fun to watch. Joffrey Lavernier, his second strong game in a row, 14-7, while Nikola Jokic went 10-7 with a steal on a block and fouled out in 22 minutes. But Yusuf Nurkic is planning to return on Saturday, so all of these guys are going to take a hit. If you own Jokic, hold. If you've got a spot and you want Lavernier, add him. But I think in the end, Jokic and Lavernier will probably be 14-team league guys, and Nurkic will be a 12-team league guy. But it's going to be a little bit of a messy rotation. I know a lot of Nuggets guys want Fareed traded and play Lavernier and Jokic next to Nurkic. They can stretch the floor. They can, not necessarily Nurkic, but Lavernier and Jokic can step outside and hit some deeper jumpers. And, you know, my dislike of Kenneth Fareed as a player. Gary Harris, 12-7 with 2 steals and a 3. He's definitely on the 12-team league radar to me. And Jameer Nelson had one of those games where it's either 40 minutes or it's 22 minutes as a start. Explain it. I can't. It sounded like Yoda. 24 minutes for Nelson, 0 points on 0 of 6 shooting, but did have 4 rebounds, 8 assists, a steal, and a block, so helped in other categories. Emmanuel Mudiay and Danilo Gallinari are still out. They will likely be back across the weekend, so Nelson's time as a relevant player is likely done when that happens. Well, not likely. It's definitely done. All right, that is the end of the games from, which day is it? Tuesday. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll be back to look at the 10 games on Wednesday's slate.
This is the part with just the guitar. while we wait on the bass and drums, I'll sing of love and you from afar. Well, here they come in now. Me and the sky are on a roll. As we hit the halftime break, the cars let you know you can't see what I see.
We are back now to talk the 10 games for Wednesday. And this is an odd slate, I think, is the best way of putting it, because there are just so many injury queries or questions or guys who are rated as questionable. So that could change up so much with value. So obviously, if you're setting a lineup and you're going to do it early, you've got to make sure you're checking throughout the day and following up with the Basketball Monster Twitter account, which is Bask Monster, for the latest up-to-date info. And if you're a Basketball Monster subscriber, you can obviously see the value change on the website when that happens. But there's just so many guys, like even this first game, the Clippers and Charlotte, we've got Jeremy Lin, who's questionable with an ankle. Nick Batum has got a toe injury, he's questionable. Spencer Hawes is coming back from a back problem, he's questionable. And all those injuries have a real impact on their own value and on other players. The Clippers are playing the Hornets. There is no spread for it at the moment. I really like JJ Redick at 4,600. We saw him have a big uptick when Blake Griffin was out last year. Wasn't that good in his last game. I think his ownership will be pretty low. I know his salary is pretty low, so I don't think we need to get too cute with it. And you don't have to be too worried about investing too much. At 4,600, it's pretty low. If he gives you 23 points, That's value. He's right there. That's 5x. He's averaging that across his last five games. I think he can be a 25, 26, 30-point guy here. I really like his upside against Charlotte. DeAndre Jordan at 7,600. Charlotte isn't the greatest team to go against with centers, but he gets an uptick in his production too. 7,600. He's a 34 average across his last three. If he gives you 35 or 36, again, you're basically at 5x value. Cody Zeller at 4,500. We just don't know what's going to happen with his minutes. Now, he's been giving you 25 points across the last three games. His lowest score across his last five has been 21.4. So a pretty decent, consistent performance. But do they run Al Jefferson out there more than 17 minutes? I've said it in the last couple of pods. I think Jefferson's done. But doesn't mean he doesn't go and play 25 and Zeller goes down to 19 or something like that. So Zeller could be a nice cash game play that could separate you from other people. But the value is not strong enough that I definitely want to recommend him in a cash game. But in a tournament, maybe I can see that. Marvin Williams has cooled off, even though he's at 4,900. I think we leave him alone. Chris Paul at 9,000, I think he's still a really nice play. He takes on the load, obviously, with Griffin out too. And if Nick Batum was to play, he's almost a 40-point average guy across his last three games. He's at 39.5. He's at 7,300 as a salary. If you get 40 points out of that, you're pretty happy. But the toe injury does worry me a little bit. Wes Johnson at 3,500. He played 31 minutes in the last game. I think he's the best player to replace Blake Griffin. So if he gives you 25 points, that might be worth looking at. And Kemba Walker's been on a ridiculous hot streak, but you have to pay for it in the salary. And then he goes up against Chris Paul. 8,400 is his salary. So he needs to be pushing 45 points. And he had 60 in the last game, but does he get 45 against Chris Paul? I'm definitely a little bit weary of that. I don't think there's much else that really needs to be covered off in this one. Cool, let's go to the next one. The Brooklyn Nets and the Orlando Magic. The Magic are favored by 7.5. The total is 199. Lord Alfred Payton is the guy we need to watch for here. He's dealt with that ankle sprain in the last game. He did return, but he's considered questionable at the moment. This is a massive matchup for Payton if he was healthy, because the Nets are terrible. 6,100 is his salary. I'd be all over using him if we know he's going to play. But because the uncertainty, and if he plays, maybe he gets limited minutes or it hurts. I'm not about using it. Victor Oladipo at 5,900. That looks really appealing against the Nets too, but he's just been brutally bad. Maybe in a tournament you can hope that he recovers some magic, but definitely not looking at him in cash games. Whereas Nick Vucevic at 8,200, just been smashing teams at the moment. He got a 42-point average across his last five games. At 8,200, yes, the salary's up there, but he's almost one of the best big men in the game at the moment. Scott Skiles was recently quoted as pushing for his All-Star selection. I thought he should have been one last year. I'm pretty confident he's going to be one again this year, or he's going to be one this year. Evan Fournier at 5,500 is also in consideration. He popped 30 points in the last game. again, an easy Nets matchup, okay with using him. Thad Young at 6,800 has been really good. Bit of a quiet one in the last game. Magic aren't a difficult team for power forwards. I'm okay with running Thad Young out at a sub 7,000 price. Don't love Toby Harris. He just always feels slightly overpriced to me. But I can get behind using Jarrett Jack at 6,600, especially if Alfred Payton sits. He can get himself, you know, he's been a 30-point guy, averaged 30 points over his last three, put up 33 in the last game, been relatively consistent lately. And if Alfred's out, I'm all for using him at that salary. Brook Lopez is $100 more than Nick Vucevic. I would much rather have Vucevic, but Lopez is still a decent play. The Magic actually, as bad as Vucevic is portrayed as a defender, the Magic actually don't allow opposition centers to put up big fantasy numbers. So there's that. So have a look there. And if I'm spending $8,200 or $300, I'm taking Vucevic over Lopez. Wayne Ellington got ridiculously hot in the last game. Maybe in a tournament, but seriously, I don't think we can rely upon that sort of production in a cash game. The Lakers and the Celtics. The Celtics are favored by 12.5. The total here is 205. David Lee is still questionable with that back issue. If he is out, then Kelly Olynyk becomes the guy that I'm keen on. He's only 4,300. He's got a 28-point average across his last three. Yes, two of them were starts without Amir Johnson. The last game he was off the bench with David Lee out, but still put 30 points up. There's a risk, but you're against the Lakers, and if Lee's out, I'm all for using Kelly Olynyk. Avery Bradley's been slumping a little bit, but against the Lakers, he's got a 22-point average across the last three. You're spending $5,000. I reckon that's a nice investment. And $5,800 for Jay Crowder also strikes me as something where I think that can be a pretty decent production. $5,500 for Jaren Sullinger. He's just not producing for me at the moment. So despite going into the Lakers, don't necessarily want to think I run him out there. $8,100 for Isaiah Thomas. That salary is high. Against the Lakers, you think he can put up 40. But he just hasn't been doing that of late. This might be a case of he gets out there and has a big night, though. So don't completely shy away from Thomas. But I don't think he's going to be someone I'm going to be looking at using. I'm not going to be looking at using Kobe Bryant either. His shooting has dropped off, and the Celtics' defense is good. It's also going to limit me from using Jordan Clarkson and D'Angelo Russell. These are all not good situations, nor is Lou Williams. So all those guys I don't think I want anything to do with. Nor do I want anything to do with Julius Randle. But Larry Nance has had two strong games in a row. He's at 4,000. He's averaging 23 across the last game. Big men against the Celtics do put up fantasy points. Do you think that we can get a Larry Nance hat trick? I'm not all that confident in it, but at 4,000, that might round out my tournament roster. He could get 27 minutes and go for 15 and 8 or something like that. And he's athletic. He could come out of nowhere and have three or four blocks with his athleticism. Hasn't happened yet, but it could happen. And against the Celtics team, I'm not completely against using Larry Nance. The Washington Wizards and the Toronto Raptors is the next game. We saw the Wizards trounce the Raptors last year in the playoffs, obviously. The Raptors are favored by 6 here. 202.5 is the over-under. Gary Neal has already been ruled out. The Wizards are still without Brad Beal, Nene, Drew Gooden, Allen Anderson. So there's a stack of players out. Garrett Temple looks like he's going to get big minutes. He's been putrid in the last two, but 4,200, you can hope that he has one of those hot shooting nights. Against Kyle Lowry, though, it's not a great spot. Luis Scola at 4,700 has been playing well, but with Jonas Valanciunas' minutes likely coming up, I'm not sure I want to spend on Scola, but in a tournament, he's been a 30-point average guy across the last three, so that's very productive. Valanciunas at 5,600, it's a low salary. It's an easy matchup for centers. Can he give you 30 points? I probably will steer clear here. Terrence Ross at 3,900 is an okay tournament play, but not with Damari Carroll ramping his minutes back up. And Ramon Sessions at 4,100, that's cheap. He's basically a 22-point guy, is what he's been over his last three, 21 over his last five. And at 4,100, if he gives you that, that's value, and you're right there. So not a bad cash game play, especially with all these other guys out. He's going to get 27 minutes. He could have a night where he gets 6 or 7 assists, and, you know, and he scores pretty decently too. Could work out well. Like DeMar DeRozan at 8,100, he's been just really consistent. Another 40-point game in the last one. An easy matchup against Garrett Temple. I think DeRozan's one of the better high-priced shooting guards on the board. And Marcin Gortat at 7,100, he's basically 33 points, 34 points most nights. He's got a 37 average across his last five. I think that he's one of the better center plays on the board. Kyle Lowry at 9,000, that salary just feels a little bit too high. especially going up against John Wall. I'll pass on him. And the same sort of fits for John Wall. He's at 10,000. So at 10,000 to get 5X, you need 50 points. I'm not sure I'm that keen on him doing that against Kyle Lowry. Not much else, I think, that is really worth looking at. Now, Corey Joseph's minutes have dropped way down lately, so we're obviously avoiding him in this situation. The Utah Jazz and the Minnesota Timberwolves, there is no spread for this one yet because we don't know the status of Derek Favors, who is questionable, and he's obviously going to be a big piece there. In the last game that Favors missed, Jeff Withey was fantastic. He put up 31.9 fantasy points. At 3,900, he's not a bad tournament play if Favors happens to miss. Rod Hood at 4,500 should be getting more shots and did in the last game. Didn't play 30 minutes, which is a little bit bothersome, but I think he gets a pretty decent spot here against the Timberwolves. At 4,500, I'm okay running him out in cash games and also in tournaments as well. Gorgui Dieng at 5,000 struggled in the last one. At 5,000, he's been a little bit below par lately, so I don't really think I love it. If Derek Favors plays, I'm okay with getting him back out there. And Karl Anthony Towns at 7,600. At 7,600, that's a big salary. He needs to go for 35, 36 points to really return value. If Favors is out, yes, it looks more appealing. If Favors plays, not sure I want to get Towns out there running around. Ricky Rubio, though, has been playing well. 7,500 for him. He put up 39 in the last game. I'm okay with using Rubio. Shooting is not his deal, obviously. It's going to be assists, rebounds, steals, and maybe a little bit of scoring, but he's able to put up those numbers without really scoring huge amounts. So he's a guy that I think that you can expect close to 35 points from. Zach LaVine at 5,200, no, that's too expensive, as is 6,600 for Andrew Wiggins. Just doesn't get enough in doesn't do enough in enough areas. Gordon Hayward at 7,600, there's no Favors. He put up 42 in the last game. Not a difficult matchup for him. At 7,600, I'd be looking at him in a lot of lineups if Favors is out. Use Tayshaun Prince if you've got a death wish. 3,500 for him. He did put up 16 points in the last game, but nah, let's leave that one alone. The next game, the Indiana Pacers and the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls are favored by 3. The total is 201. Doug McDermott missed the last game with a knee issue. It's been called a knee strain. He's currently day-to-day, so if he doesn't play, it's obviously going to change a few things. Same with CJ Miles from the Indianapolis. Far out, stop saying Indianapolis. From the Indiana Pacers, he is questionable with a sore back. Miles Turner looks like he'll be ready to go for the Pacers, and Jordan Hill is out after having some dental work done. Hopefully he got some grills installed. On to the Bulls. Pau Gasol at 8,900. It's a big salary, but he's returning value almost every time that he gets out there, or close enough to it. A 42.6 average across his last three, a minimum of 36 in his last five. He's okay to use. And Taj Gibson at 4,800, 26-point average is really solid. The minutes are there for him. Not worried that the Pacers do reduce power forward output, because at that salary, he's still a good guy to go, but he's going to be owned by a lot of people. So you might want to pivot away. You just want to check and see who else is available there for you. Not much else really appeals. Maybe Yan Mahinmi at 5,400, but if he was under 5,000, I'd like it a lot more against this Bulls front court, who is bad at restricting fantasy points. So at 5,400, it feels a little bit high. Paul George at 8,500, nah, he's just in a massive stink at the moment. And 8,200 for Jimmy Butler, not producing for me. I'd rather spend the $100 less and get DeMar DeRozan. He's been much more consistent and much more productive as of late. Derrick Rose is starting to turn it around, but he's still priced too high at 6,400. He's had a couple of good games, but he only put up 28 in the last game, and that's not enough at 6,400. Monte Ellis at 400 less has been outproducing Derrick Rose. So I can sort of get behind using Monte Ellis. It's still a little bit of risk involved there. Nikola Mirotic is only tournament plays. We don't know what they're going to do with using him. He could play 40 minutes. He could play 16 minutes. Bobby Portis could play 10 minutes. He could play 25 minutes. So you restrict them to tournaments. Now, Portis has a 3,700 salary, and he put up 23 in the last game. That was great. But he's also had a 4.8 game in the last five. Mirotic has gone from 42 to 4.6. It's such wild fluctuations in their minutes and their production. It really restricts them to tournaments. Tony Snell got hot in the last game. So without Doug McDermott, maybe you take a flyer on 3,800 of Tony Snell in a tournament. But he's just not good. I just don't see him going out there and being as good as he was in the last game. All those guys, Mirotic, Portis, and Snell, what they do is too inconsistent, and you have to use them in tournaments only. I definitely don't want anything to do with them in any sort of cash game format. The Warriors and the Mavericks. The Warriors are favored by 8.5. The total is 212.5. Steph Curry, there's a big word coming out that he's going to be rested the next two games with a sore leg. So if he's out, what I love here is Klay Thompson at 70. Let's assume that Steph's out for the time being. At 11,000, I wouldn't be using him anyway, but say he's out. Klay Thompson at 7,300 is going to be handling the ball more. He's going to have more shooting opportunities against a Dallas team. I'm happily running him out there. And Draymond at 9,200, he's going to handle the ball a lot more as well. He's already averaging 45 points across his last five. He could be close to a 50 in this game. Definitely fine with spending some big money on Draymond. If you want to go cheaper, Chandler Parsons at 5,300 has been getting close to being back to his best. I think he's one of the better players out there in all of the slates. We don't know if Darren Williams is playing. If he doesn't play, JJ Barea becomes someone who you look at, especially if Steph's out. He had a stinker in the last game. That might reduce his ownership at 4,100 if there is no Darren Williams. I think we can look at getting Barea out there because they're going to be running guys like Sean Livingston and Ian Clark. Now, Livingston might be a hassle for Barea because he is so big and long, but I think that Barea will have a better game than he had last game, but probably not as good as he'd had in those games previously. Wes Matthews is a bit too hit and miss for me for cash games, so I'll leave him alone. And Andrew Bogut at 4,300, not bad. Production's been really good for him lately. If he gives you 21, 22 points, that's enough to break even, and he can do that. He put up 19 in the last game in just 14 minutes, but the minutes are so hard to deal with that I will probably steer clear of him in most spots. Dirk at 6,700, I don't love that either, nor do I love the 6,400 on Zaza Pachulia. At 3,600, Sean Livingston, if Curry doesn't play, yep, I can look at using that. And same with Ian Clark at 3,600. He put up 22.8 in the last game. So if Steph's out, he's going to see more run and more shots probably. The Phoenix Suns and the San Antonio Spurs. The Spurs are favored by 14.5. The total is 196, and the Phoenix Suns are terrible. All that adds up to is Spurs guys, could they be limited? The only guy I look at is Kawhi Leonard at 8,800, and even then, I'm a little bit hesitant, but the Suns are so bad on the perimeter that he could put up 45 points in that limited in 25 minutes. I'm okay with using him, but there's still a bit of a concern. Danny Green at 3,500. Even at 3,500, he can't return value, so no thanks. John Lua looks good on the surface at 4,800, but the return of Markieff Morris. Does Lua stay at 28 minutes? Does Morris play at all? I would tend to think that Morris will only play very limited if he plays at all. So I'm not too bad with using Lua at 4,800, but you need to sort of check and hear Jeff Hornacek's quotes throughout the day if he has anything, if they speak about Morris's return. Brandon Knight at 6,900. I imagine that salary is going to start to rise soon, but against the Spurs, I don't want anything to do with him. 4,000 for TJ Warren. Really good in the last game. Won't hit that many threes, but at 4,000, you'd have to think he'd get some pretty decent minutes. So I'm okay throwing him out there, as I am with PJ Tucker at 3,900. He's had a 25.5 average across his last three games. And again, the Spurs factor is real, but at that sort of low salary, you can afford to get these guys out. No thanks on Tony Parker. No thanks on LaMarcus Aldridge. Tim Duncan might be out, and if he's out, Boban Marjanovic put up 23.8 in the last game. He doesn't need many minutes. He's a tournament play, but if Duncan's out, we might see some Marjanovic, and I'd be really interested to see him use and see what his ownership percentage is, because at 3,800, if he puts up 23.8 points, that's value. That's over 5x value. Don't think he's the greatest player of all time, but someone to consider. Devin Booker at 3,600, only a tournament play in one of your lineups, especially against the Spurs. This is not going to go well for the Suns, I wouldn't have thought. Two games left, the Denver Nuggets and the Portland Trailblazers. There is no spread for this one yet, mainly because we do not know the status of Damian Lillard. He is considered questionable. He did practice and he said he was pain-free, so you'd think that the chances of him playing are pretty high. And Ed Davis is probable, so he will likely get going as well. Value-wise, Joffrey Lavernier at 3,900. He's been smashing value the last couple, but there's always a risk that he goes down, or not goes down, or doesn't get played enough. So use him at your peril. Same with Nikola Jokic at 4,700. If I'm using one of them, it's going to be Lavernier because I'm saving 800, and the upside is probably pretty similar for both of those guys. Mason Plumlee at 5,400. He won't be very highly owned, but if he can stay out of foul trouble, which I think he should be able to do against Denver, he's in line for a 27 or 30-point night, I would say. Jameer Nelson, low minutes in the last game. Does this mean we see high minutes this time? Maybe. Let's hope so. It's against the Portland backcourt, which is not great defensively. 4,700. one of the better cheap options for point guards out there. And Myers Leonard at 4,200. He's got an exceeding 25-point average across the last three, put up 29 in 30 minutes in the last game. Someone you can look at. The arrow is definitely trending up, but with Ed Davis returning, maybe that dampens my enthusiasm slightly. I don't want to use Damian Lillard at 9,000 here, coming back from that injury if he plays. And what about CJ McCollum at 8,200? That's a very big salary. He needs to go for 45 or 43 or 44 plus to give you great value, but it is an easier matchup. And if there's no Lillard, I'm okay spending up. Will Barton at 6,800, almost 40 points today. One of the better shooting guard plays pretty much every day. I think you can go and look at using him. And Gary Harris at 4,100, that's not a big salary. He's a 23-point guy across his last three games. He's relatively consistent. He's trending up. He's playing better. He's someone that I do like using if you're looking for a cheap shooting guard to fill in some of your minutes there. The last game of the night should have lots of fantasy friendliness. The Philadelphia 76ers and the Sacramento Kings. I don't think Jahlil Okafor is going to play. He didn't practice, and that's not a good sign. DeMarcus Cousins, Vlade Divac apparently thinks he's going to be suspended. We haven't heard anything official from the league. And Kostas Koufos is dealing with gastroenteritis. So a few injuries again to check up on here. Hollis Thompson at 3,500. He's playing, averaging 33 minutes across his last three games and doing nothing with them. Maybe throw him in a tournament and hopefully you get something out of him, but I'm not trusting it in a cash game. Boogie Cousins at 9,800. I reckon he's got primed for a big one. Omri Caspi at 5,600. Love it. Should be in pretty much every lineup. Rudy Gay at 7,200. Not as excited about him, but I think that he's still got 35-point upside here. Rajon Rondo at 7,800. The salary's under 8,000. He's against the Sixers. He could tear them apart as well. I think there's some big lines here for the Kings. And then on the Sixers side of things, Ish Smith at 5,200, one of the better point guard plays of the day. I think he should be in a lot of your lineups. And if Okafor's out, 6,000 for Nerlens Noel seems like a really good price. He's thriving with Ish Smith, 36.7 in his last game. His defense is coming back, playing center. Love looking at Nerlens Noel if Okafor is out. Darren Collison at 5,400. Yes, he's put up some big numbers, but if Rondo gets the big minutes, then Collison might be under 30, so I probably don't want to risk that. And 3,700 for Rishon Holmes. He put up a big game in the last one, an easy matchup against the Kings. I'm okay with throwing him into a tournament and hoping it comes off. Bob Cove, too expensive at 5,100. He's giving you nothing. Ballinelli, McLemore, nothing from those guys. TJ McConnell and Kendall Marshall, no thanks for them either. All right, that is it for the podcast, guys. I'm going to bring up the DFS plays now on the screen. There you go. Wednesday's DFS plays. Point guard, Jameer Nelson, 4,700. Ish Smith, 5,200. And Rajon Rondo, 7,800. Shooting guards, JJ Redick, 46. Klay Thompson, 73, which is a big bump if Steph's out. And DeMar DeRozan at 8,100. Small forwards, TJ Warren, 4,000. Omri Caspi, 56. And Kawhi Leonard, 8,800. Power forwards, Taj Gibson, 48. Nerlens Noel, 6,000. And Pau Gasol, 89. And the centers, Kelly Olynyk, 4,300, Mason Plumlee, 5,400, and DeMarcus Cousins at 9,800. We are done for today's podcast, guys. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. The Basketball Monster account is Bask Monster. Check out basketballmonster.com. Check out hardwoodparoxysm.com. Hey, check out moneyball.com.au as well, and join in with all the fun and daily fantasy festivities going on over on that site. We are done. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.